Spot. Wins two for Manchester United, Man City, West Ham, Liverpool, Tottenham and West Brom. Sydney weather today, cloudy with rain and tops of 21 degrees. This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing and sports leader.
Round, round, get around, I get around, yeah.
On Sky Sports Radio, Racing HQ is your go-to program for everything racing.
With track reports, scratchings, tab markets,
and the best form analysts in the business for the major New South Wales meetings. Plus, all your regular morning features.
Going greyhounds.
On the pace.
Chin wag with Cozzy.
You just had a ball, you've had a great time.
And interstate race previews.
Racing HQ.
Now, weekday mornings at 10 from Monday on Sky Sports Radio.
If you love a bet, then we bet you'll love a $100,000 first four jackpot on the Villiers Stakes at Royal Randwick this Saturday. And a $20,000 quaddy jackpot at Tabcorp Park, Menangle this Saturday night. Now you can cash out your quaddy after the first, second or third leg. Collect a payout or ride it out thanks to Tab's Quaddy Cash Out. So place a bet you'll never forget on your Tab app. Online at tab.com.au or at your local Tab today. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Live racing is now available at tasracing.com.au. Every Tasmanian race day, all three codes. Available on your desktop, tablet and mobile. Absolutely free. Live racing at tasracing.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio is gearing up for the brightest summer season of racing and sports.
In the summertime when the weather is high.
Starting Monday morning at 9.
BSP Extra has the right mix of summer sports and racing.
With the latest on cricket, A-League,
tennis,
NBA, golf and more.
Hear from players, coaches and experts.
Plus racing news and tips. Immediately following the big sports breakfast at 9 weekdays.
BSP Extra on Sky Sports Radio.
They're off.
Gates open. They're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Talk.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountain.
There it is. Adam Scott. A life changer.
It's the first time he's finished about a GP at Phillip Island. Mark Marquez does it in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And good morning, everyone. Sean Cosgrove over at tab.com.au. Jared Middleton, how are you, Jared?
Very well, Cozzy. How are you?
Fighting fit, thank you, mate. The weather is just all over the shop down the east coast at the moment, isn't it? One day stinking hot, the next day you're not too sure.
That's exactly right, but it looks pretty good at the Gabba, I do believe. So that's very important, of course, today. Looking forward to this pink ball test, actually. And Pakistan, I don't think they should be taken lightly. They've got a couple of seamers who can swing the ball and could cause us some problems.
Yeah, we're going to talk to Kevin Mitchell in a moment. He's the curator, Kevin Mitchell Jr. at the Gabba, to find out the story there. When we get him online, we'll have a quick chat with him. He's here now. Morning, Kevin. How are you?
Oh, morning, gents. Not too bad. Lovely day here.
Yeah, just wondering, what's the weather like? Is it in for one of those real hot days or just a mild one?
Pretty warm, about 32. Probably a little bit drier than we normally have this time of year. So, you know, there's a little bit of breeze around, so hopefully not too much humidity.
Sorry, Kev, just how bouncy is your wicket there?
Yeah, look, it's going to be a nice bouncy deck, I think. Yeah, a bit of bounce and pace, so might just be a touch slow first session, but no, there'll be plenty of carry for sure.
Is there much grass on the wicket?
Good grass cover, but we've cut down at our normal height about 2 millimetres, so nothing outrageous.
Kevin, with the pink ball, do you prepare the wicket any differently?
No, we haven't, because we've had three pink ball day-night shield matches, and we haven't done any much different for those, so we've just gone along those lines.
Just out of those shield matches, I saw Mitchell Stark make some comments that the pink ball became a bit soft there at the Gabba, and it wasn't carrying as much as the pitch usually would, so just in a standard day match, day test match with the red ball. I mean, how confident are you that this pitch can retain its bounce over the course of the test match?
Yeah, I don't think there'll be any problems there. Obviously, as the game goes longer, it becomes better to bat on, obviously. But it'll be really nice and uniform, so they'll be able to leave well. I think it'll be fairly standard. Towards the latter part of the game, it'll tend to maybe get a little bit variable and hopefully some spin.
What's the rest of the ground like, Kevin? Have you had much rain at all?
We had some storms last week, and so that was pretty good. I thought we'd get them out the road. The ground's in really good nick. We were able to spray out our cool season grass after footy season because we had a bit of a break in between the start of cricket and obviously this test match. So it's full cover of pitch, and it's looking pretty good, I think.
Jimmy Marr the other day was complimentary of the Gabba wicket. He said it was one of the best around. He thought it was just fantastic for either bowling or batting.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably over the years we've sort of hopefully been able to produce something where everyone gets a bit of a go, and I think this one, you know, will be pretty similar to that.
And interesting, a couple of verses ago you said should spin perhaps later in the test match. Why do you think spinners have had a pretty good record there at the Gabba? I mean, Shane Warne, some of his best bowling performances were there at the Gabba, and Nathan Lyon. I mean, there's huge debate over whether he'll play or not, which I can't believe, considering he's got a great record at the Gabba. Why do you think spinners tend to get good results there?
Oh, with Warne, he was just a freak because he had so much variation and, you know, the revs he put on the ball, the accuracy, the whole box and dice, the drifts and everything. I think, and Nathan's fairly accurate too, and they tend to, they can aim for those footmarks later in the game, and they tend to get a bit of bounce and fizz out of it. And Nathan tends to get a bit of a bounce because of his tallness as well.
Kevin, just out of interest, as a curator, when you're preparing these wickets, say you know, that period between when the footy season finishes and the cricket starts, do you top dress the wicket area? And if so, where do you get the soil from?
Yeah, we've got a supply at Peak Crossing up sort of in there, Ipswich Way. We had some really great soil in the past at Redbank Plains, but they developed it and there's all housing over at the moment, so it's a bit of a shame.
You don't go out at night and sort of sneak in underneath someone's joint?
It'd be really nice because, I mean, it's so hard to... We should have stockpiled some because it's becoming so precious and hard to get these days. But, we obviously try and protect as much as we can through the footy with, monitoring the moisture and covers and stuff like that. Every now and then we cop a bit of a wet one, so it does get knocked about a bit. But, yeah, that's the idea, is to scarify it back and thin it out and try and get it as level as we can for the first few games. And then we tend to work towards the middle, towards the test matches for a bit later on.
How do you find the right soil?
It's about getting an analysis and the right clay content, which is, you know, sort of in our states up around about the 75% of smectite clays, which is the swelling and contracting clay. And it's great for us. It's, it gives you that bounce and pace, and also, you know, after you've rolled it to death, you can put some water on it, swells back up and gives the grass a bit of room to grow it, to grow through it again.
Kevin, if you were the captain today and won the toss, what would you do on that wicket?
Yeah, I suppose middle of the day start, you probably, a fair bit of the moisture has sort of gone out of it. It's not like you're taking the covers off and sort of rolling it up to start a play and it retains a fair bit of that moisture. A little bit's going to dry out of it, so... Yeah, I suppose, you know, a nice day, the weather's good, you got the right balance in the team, I guess you'd probably be looking at maybe having a bat.
There you go.
All right, there's the lead. That's all we want, Kevin. Good luck.
I shouldn't say that.
No, yes, you can. It's perfect. So today you just sit there and watch, and I suppose it'll be like you'll be the assessor, won't you, as to how the wickets come out, really, when you see the way they're hitting.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's the same every test match or every cricket game in that regard. You know, you sort of, you ride the whole thing and watch every part of it, and hopefully it just turns out a good match and everyone sort of gets a bit of a chance to show their wares. That's the idea.
Well, Kevin, I love watching Gabba test matches because, as you said, they pretty much everyone gets a go. It's good for batting and the bowlers get some carry. So looking forward to it again. Well done on another wicket prepared for a Gabba test, and enjoy the match, Kevin. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you, gentlemen. My pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Kevin. Kevin Mitchell Jr. there, the Gabba curator. Sam Mueller is one of our TAB fixed odds bookies, and he's been looking at the market, Australia, Pakistan. Kevin said he'd bat. Sam, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you going?
Good.
Very well. You've been finding it hard to lay Pakistan. They're at a very nice price, but hard to write bets for them.
It has been a bit hard to write a bet for Pakistan. The punters only want Australia so far. I guess people are back in love with Australia after our brief disappointment in South Africa, but a good win in Adelaide and then the 3-0 smashing of New Zealand in the ODIs have restored the faith.
To what extent will the toss affect the price, Sam? So if Australia lose the toss, do they automatically get out?
Look, I'm not sure. I don't think the price will change a great deal on the toss. Look, it's probably, you know, I think it was just mentioned, it's probably a bat first wicket, but I don't think the likes of Stark and Hazelwood and co will mind bowling first. There'll be a little bit there, especially in the first session. Pakistan, that's the big question, is can they actually put a decent score on the board to be competitive? So I think the punters will probably be... They won't be too disappointed if Australia, whatever happens at the toss, will we battle bowl.
Because I remember the Hobart test against South Africa, the second test there. South Africa firmed significantly after winning the toss there. So it's one of those ones, I guess it's horses for courses, isn't it?
It is. I mean, that pitch in Hobart at Belvedere, that was prime bowling conditions. You couldn't have asked for better. That was a huge toss to win, especially given on the back of the disappointment of the first test. And, you know, it's sort of, I think it was a bit of a writing on the wall for Australia. It was sort of close your eyes that session as a supporter, and it turned out that way. You couldn't have, in fairness to them, they're up against, you know, as good a bowling and fast bowling attack in the world. And, yeah, they were lambs for the slaughter.
Are Pakistan capable of just turning this right around and fixing this up or not?
I don't think so. I hope so. I do hope it's a competitive series. They didn't give us a lot of confidence in their two tests in New Zealand. But this is probably the best team they've had in a while. But to give you an idea, they haven't been beaten in a... Now, they don't play it in Pakistan, of course. All their home series are either at a neutral venue, often in the UAE or even sometimes England. They haven't been beaten in a home series for nearly 10 years.
Mm.
And yet they can't actually win away, or certainly not against the big boys. They've beaten Sri Lanka and Bangladesh and co, but they haven't beaten one of the main players. I do hope they are competitive. A lot will depend on Mohammad Amir, I would say. He is world-class bowler at his best. When he swings the ball, he's going to love the pink ball, especially bowling at night. He could do some real damage. But I do hope for their sake that they can be competitive.
Punters certainly think Usman Khawaja is going to do some damage with the bat again. He's been very well back for the Aussies in the high bat market there for the first innings there. Just want to ask you, Sam, this week you put up a price for the Ashes, of course, a long way away. And, well, $1.60 Australia looks pretty short, but we're going to go to India after England. England are there now having an awful time. You'd think that we're going to have a very tough time over there as well. Does that mean that England are any chance of becoming favourites at some stage for the Ashes?
Look, I doubt it. Unless we have an injury crisis of, you know, no Warner, no Smith, no Stark, no Hazelwood, I can't see how we're always going to be favourites at home, I think, especially more often than not. I think there was the third test at Adelaide, South Africa were favourites, and I think that was possibly the second time that's happened in 15 years, maybe more, that the away side's been a shorter price than Australia. We're always going to be favourite at home. Our record speaks for itself, really. England did win here two series ago, and of course, last time they were here, they got beat 5-0. The way world cricket is going, it is very hard to win away. I think we see India have never beaten us in Australia ever. We've beaten them once in 40 years in India. I do fear for our boys when we go over in February. I think that we could be very similar to what's occurred to England. They're just being murdered. But the same thing happens when India go to England. India can't really... I think their last two series in England, it's been 4-0 and 3-1. So it's just very hard to win away.
Yeah.
Sam, who do we keep an eye on today? Who do you think's going to fire?
Look, I think apart from the obvious batsmen, you've got the big three, Smith, Warner and Khawaja. I'd probably, if I'm going to lean anyone, I think Hazelwood's the man you'd want to look for in, say, sort of any sort of most wickets, player of the match type market. He's certainly bowling the best he's ever bowled. And he's, the two day-night tests he's played, he's been outstanding. He was man of the match in Adelaide last year. And then this year, if it wasn't for Usman Khawaja's brilliant innings, he would have been man of the match again. So he's probably the one who I would probably look to. And then I guess if you do like Pakistan, it's hard to go past Mohammad Amir or perhaps even Yunus Khan, because someone's going to make the run, and if they're going to score them, it's probably going to be through him or maybe Azhar Ali.
There you go. So all Josh Hazelwood, $9 to be man of the match and $2.75 to take the most wickets for the Aussies in the first inning. Sam, happy trading. Thanks for talking to us, and we'll speak to you again. Thanks, mate.
No worries, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, Sam. Sam Mueller joining us there. Tab Fixed Odds, one of the bookies at 19 past 10, Sky Sports Radio. Ben Dorey's with us. How are you, Ben?
Yeah, good morning, lads. Lovely day in Brisbane for the pretty historic day for the city, the first day-night pink ball test. We've seen a few of them in Adelaide. Now we're going to see how Brisbane's going to go.
How's the public embraced it, Ben?
Yeah, well, it's been a bit mixed, to be honest. I mean, I think there's a bit of excitement bubbling around about it, and there certainly will be tonight, you know, when the lights go on and the Gabba's got about $1 million worth of new lights, so it should look spectacular. But I've got to say, the ticket sales have been slightly underwhelming. I think they're expecting about 23, 24,000 people on the first day for a capacity, I think, for cricket these days, it's about 36,000. So, look, I mean, it's still, you know, the Gabba's used to sort of, you know, when we sort of play Sri Lanka or New Zealand or something up here, we're used to getting sort of 13,000 or something. So still, you know, a market improvement on that. But I very much doubt whether there'll be any day of the test sold out. There certainly won't be the big crowds that we've seen in Adelaide. Not quite sure why that is, guys, because it's school holidays up here and the Brisbaneites would really get behind it. But
Well, they roll up in the weekend. But, I mean, you can put work down as an excuse, I suppose, being a Thursday.
Yeah, I'll tell you what will be interesting, lad. They've got some clever marketing going on up here that basically if that, they're calling them twilight tickets. If you want to turn up after 3 p.m, in other words, miss the first session, it's only $20. So despite the fact they haven't pre-sold probably a stack of tickets, I get the feeling certainly on Friday night, Saturday and Sunday, there'll be a hell of a lot of people taking advantage of that. They probably don't even realise those tickets are discounted. So I reckon what you'll probably see throughout the test is, you know, pretty sort of, you know, standard crowds, I guess, in the first couple of sessions. But certainly that night session, the crowd will really roll in because, I mean, the Gabba is only, it doesn't quite have the proximity to the city that the Adelaide Oval does in Adelaide, but it's only a couple of kilometres from the city. So I reckon a lot of people will roll in after work.
Ben, surely we pick Nathan Lyon, particularly after he got his confidence back there in Adelaide. And look, and spinners' records pretty strong there at the Gabba. And Australia don't really often play four quicks. What are the feelings there in Brisbane?
Well, I've got to say my feeling is they will play four quicks for this test, lads. And I never thought I'd say it. I mean, we've read so many stories over the years about, you know, Australia's going to play four quicks, and it just about never happens, does it? But just get the feeling from talking to a few people around the Australian camp, and even Steve Smith yesterday at his captain's presser, just reading the sort of tea leaves, I think Nathan Lyon is in a bit of danger of missing out. I think they think that the Pakistan team are pretty good players of spin. The Gabba will really suit four quicks. If you're going to play four quicks anywhere, you probably would at the Gabba, you know, under lights with the pink ball. And Chad Sayers would be the one that would come in. And he does swing the ball around corners. I hope if he does, actually give him the new ball because he's very much a new ball bowler. So, look, it hasn't been decided yet. But if I had to go one way or the other, I do get the feeling they will play four quicks, guys.
That's interesting. I think Nathan Lyon, it'd be hard done by, but yeah, that's one to watch later today for your markets too. And Matt Renshaw on his home deck playing his second test today. I know you've been, I think you were the one who broke the story saying he was going to be in national calculations this summer, Ben. And look, this is a big moment for him today.
Oh, I tell you what it is. I mean, there's no pressure like the pressure really of playing a home test match, is there? I mean, I suppose, you know, certainly your test at Bowie would have felt the butterflies last start, but again, I just wonder, lad, is there a market for, you know, the batsman who survives the most balls rather than scores the most runs in this test? Matt Renshaw would be a special there, I reckon, if there was such a betting category.
I can't believe that he got criticised for that in some quarters, for putting a price on his wicket, Ben, after we got bowled out for 85 in Hobart. Yeah, he gets 30 off 120. He didn't get out. It's a test match. He saw us home.
I mean, look, for years, we've been crying out for someone to not play stupid shots, to not waft at the wide one, to really value their wicket and put a price on it. And here's a kid who has. And look, let's not forget, in the second inning, Australia was only chased for low total, but they lost two quick wickets in succession. I think they were 2 for 50-odd. I mean, if Matt Renshaw goes in, they're 3 for 50, and then Nick Maddison, who didn't trouble the scorers in the first innings, is in. So, look, I mean, there was no rush for him to score. They had 2 days to score 120 or something. So, look, I can't bag him for that. One thing I would say, though, and I'm sure, this will come to him once the pressure valve's released a bit and he really gets into playing test cricket, he's got to put away the bad balls. I mean, it's all good and well keeping out the good balls and hanging around and showing you the toughness. And that was terrific, I reckon, from a young kid in Adelaide. But I'd just like to see him, the sort of half volleys outside off stump or the one down leg side of the full toss. Just in his test debut, hit too many of them to the fielders. And eventually, playing test cricket, if you're not putting the bad balls away, you are going to get a good one that's going to get you out, aren't you? So I just hope, and that will come. He's only 20 years old. I just hope he doesn't have to do anything extravagant, but just hope he maybe focuses a little bit more in this test about putting the bad ones away.
Plenty of markets for him. $1.80 to score 25, $2.75 to score 50, $8 to score 100, and $51 to score 200. Matty Renshaw there. Now, Wahab Riaz and Yasir Shah, they had to be separated at Pakistan training.
Oh.
Well, what's going on there, Ben?
Yeah, look, interesting stuff, isn't it, lads? I mean, the Pakistan team, you just never know what you're going to get from them. Do you? Like, here's another altercation. So, look, they're that sort of team, aren't they? I mean, they could come out and be, you know, play like they're totally disinterested and get beaten in sort of 2 days, or they could come out and do a total job on the Australians. I mean, you just never know. And I've got to say, there's probably a bit of value in the Pakistan team, you know, in your match markets. I mean, let's not forget, I do think Australia will win this test, but having said that, let's not forget this is a very, very new Australian team, and they're going to have good days, which they had in Adelaide, and they're going to have bad days. There's going to be plenty of bad days from this Australian team. And if Pakistan get them on a bad day, they have got some of the best quicks in the world. And with the pink ball, if you don't mind, they'll be swinging around the corners. Mohammad Amir, he's returned to Australia after getting rubbed out for fixing. So there's all sorts of things in the equation there. I mean, I couldn't probably be backing the Australians at those odds, put it that way. I don't think Pakistan are special by any means, but I'll certainly give them a scrappy chance of beating Australia.
If you're having a bet today, who would you be betting on?
Oh, is there a race at Nowra or something?
Come on. I used to always joke and say, back who the Pakistanis are backing.
I hate sitting on the fence, but you sort of really, with these day-night tests, you probably want to see who's batting first and what's going on, really. I mean, I'd probably want to be on the team that's batting first. I mean, if Pakistan can bat first, even if they score a dusty old sort of 300, I mean, it does put pressure on this new Australian team, and potentially Australia in a second innings could be batting under light. So I do think that whoever wins the toss, and I know we talk about, you know, maybe bowling first at the Gabba, but I think that's a million to one a day because it's a hot day in Brisbane. The game doesn't start till 1 p.m. local time. So all that normal juice and what have you we see in the Gabba pitch, you know, for a day test, a lot of that won't be there. So I think you just bat first, try and put a big total on, and then, the other side's under pressure, and hopefully you have a crack at them under lights as well. So look, I'd probably just be waiting to the toss, and whoever bats first, especially if it's Pakistan at those odds, just put a sneaky something on them.
I think he learnt never to bat bowl first, at the Gabba when Nasser Hussain did it. I think it was 2002-03, and Australia finished the day 2 for 364. So I think we got a good lesson about that. You never bowl first at the Gabba, surely.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And I think Nasser Hussain is still waking up in cold sweats from that. I mean, I know Kevin Mitchell, the curator up here, he's a great mate of mine and enjoys a bet too, lads. I'm probably sure he's got an account with the tab down there somewhere. He's still scratching his head over that one. He just couldn't work it out. He found Nasser a very, very odd character. Most visiting captains go up and ask Kevin about, you know, the intricacies of the pitch and conditions, and he doesn't say, look, you should bat or bowl, but he gives them a bit of an insight into what's going on in Brisbane. That year, Nasser, he didn't hear a word, Kevin Mitchell, from Nasser Hussain, and you saw what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Actually, that's a good point that they do go and have a yard of him, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And look, he's very good, Kevin. He would never say you should bat or you should bowl first, because you've got to be very careful with sort of, anti-corruption laws and things like that these days. But, you know, just for a visiting team that's coming out here that's only, I mean, Pakistan haven't even played a game at the Gabba. This series, they played a warm-up game up in Cairns. So a lot of their, you know, quite a few of their players would be new to the Gabba, not really knowing what to expect. It does certainly pay to have a bit of a chat with the local curator. Who knows the place like the back of his hand.
Good on you, Ben. Good to catch up, mate. We'll talk to you next week.
Good on you, lads. Cheers.
Thanks, Ben. Ben Dorrie is joining us there, 27 past 10, Sky Sports Radio. Jared, Rachel Hunt is flying at the moment. She's riding a lot of winners, particularly for Barbara Joseph, Paul Jones and her boss, Keith Dryden and Scott Collings as well. And she's got three nice rides today at Wagga. She's with us now. Morning, Rachel. We're good, thanks. Probably, nearly as good as you. You're riding winners everywhere at the moment.
Yeah, I'm having a good run at the moment.
Too right. You got Canberra the other day. You got a couple there. Goulburn as well. Wagga. Just everywhere.
Yeah, double two when I was there. Yeah, it's been going really well so far.
Now, the first today, you're on critical touch for Barb Joseph and Paul Jones. And this hasn't been finishing too far off in its last couple.
No, look, critical touch. you know, he drew wide at Thunderguy and Cootamundra, so he had to work really hard from those gates. But his run at Canberra, you know, he ran a cracker race at Canberra and finished just behind Stratum Fire in his circle game, so I think he should run well today.
And we've got it a $4.20 favourite with tab.com.au in an open betting race. In race 5, Rachel, number 10, this is a 1,300-metre maiden, Rose Kiyomi, trained by Mark G. It finished well back in its only career run. That was at Taree. It's got a horror draw here today, though.
Yeah, we've drawn very wide. I'm not sure what really to make of this horse, but it's, you know, it's his first run for her first run for Mark, so just, you know, hopefully I can get some luck from that gate.
You'll have to work the hunt magic.
Yeah.
All right, then, in race 7, Norm Gardner has put you on Le Cavalier. You're a real live chance here. This one the other day at Canberra. They'd run second at Canberra. It wasn't far away, and he'd beaten four lengths at Rose Hill as well.
Yeah, I mean, when this horse won in its last start, it was 361 kilos, and it's only got 52 on its back today. You know, and there's a bit of pace in the race. Matt Kiku and Chief Command, who drew outside, they'll roll forward. So, you know, hopefully there's a bit of tempo in the race, and we just roll over top of them.
And Rachel, you're fortunate. You can ride light. You can ride about 50 kilos.
Yeah, I can ride lighter than that if I wanted to. I'm a very light jockey, so I'm quite fortunate because I can eat my big dinners and my big breakfasts.
Yes, I'm tipping Christmas Day. You'll have the nose bag on, won't you? Hey?
Yeah, I will.
You just take. What do you have? Run through what little rate you will have on Christmas Day.
Christmas Day, well, actually, I'm a very good worker. I'm going to be working on Christmas Day, so I'll be busy.
Oh, and then you'll get stuck into the turkey after that,
yes,
right?
Definitely, yeah.
It'll be Rachel 1, turkey 0.
Yes.
Which is the pick of yours today?
I'm fairly confident on Critical Touch and with Heavenly today.
Yeah, I reckon so. Yeah, two of the three, you've got terrific book of rides. Only the three there, but two real, real good chances. Rachel, yeah. We wish you all the best. Let's hope the winning run continues. It's going well at the moment.
Yeah, thank you very much. I hope so too.
Good on you. Thanks, Rachel. Thanks, Rachel. Rachel Hunt joining us there, and she's having a great run too at the moment. Two real good chances today.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, Cozzy, it happens all the time, doesn't it? Whoever we speak to on Tab Talk nearly always rides a winner that afternoon.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. Let's hope the theme continues today. We'll talk to you throughout the day.
Yeah, sounds good, Cozzy. Thank you.
Good on you. Thanks, Jared. Jared Middleton there at tab.com.au. It's 29-11. Let's update the latest news and sport now with Leanne West.
Thanks, Cozzy. The curator at the Gabba says the wicket should have extra bounce and pace, as speculation continues that spinner Nathan Lyon could miss the team for today's day-night test against Pakistan. Australian Rugby League coach Mal Meninga says bad boy Andrew Fifita could force his way back into the Kangaroos squad for next year's World Cup. The consortium behind a proposed A-League franchise in Tasmania is targeting Sydney FC's Graham Arnold as its inaugural coach. And Chelsea has